is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
Alrighty, get excited. We're back with another episode of the Sports Fever. You might be like, what is going on? Why is Noah talking to start the episode off? It's because I'm hosting this week, but don't worry. Anthony Colasano is still with us.
Hey, hello.
How are you, Doug? How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. Got a nice little break from hosting, though I love doing it, but you know, every once in a while it's nice to kind of kick back and just, you know, not have to run the show.
Take it easy. Take it easy, Anthony. Anthony is always on, always ready to go, so prepared that, you know, we're giving him a day off. And then, obviously, you're going to be happy to hear this voice again. Mr. Dom D. Rosa. How you doing, Dom?
You stop. You're making a grown man blush. I'm doing well.
You're making a grown man blush. My God, what a
doing well, boys. It's exciting, you know, Super Bowl this Sunday. Going to be working it, but also watching it. So going to have two different views of that. Yeah. Angry customers and me rooting for the Bengals hardcore. Crazy. We're already here. The Pro Bowl was a huge bust. The only thing that was good about it was Mac Jones doing the gritty. So otherwise than that.
Yeah.
He good. I saw it.
He did.
It wasn't
he
bad.
Did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're ready.
Yeah, you know, and Dom, you're going to give us some expertise because, you know, you with FanDuel, like, we're going to be talking about bets, you know?
A little bit. Yeah. So, yeah, because we have to get really ready for Sunday. There's a lot of different wagers out there. We've talked about it, I think, a couple of years back on the show. We tried to predict the Gatorade color. That's coming back. That's a FanDuel one. The odds are there. There's, of course, the coin toss. I don't see the anthem and stuff, but we'll get into all of those probably towards the end or just later on.
Yeah, like middle end, you know, because we were texting in our group chat thing. I asked, because that's one of the bets I'm always interested in, the over-under on the anthem. And I saw that it was like 95 seconds in over-under. But
who's singing the anthem?
It's Mickey Guyton. I don't really know who she is.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's been a pretty, if you look at the other people who've sung the Star Spangled Banner in the past, you got Demi Lovato, Gladys Knight, Pink, Luke Bryan, Lady Gaga, Alicia Keys, Whitney Houston, like, you got big, big, big deals, you know, and I just don't know who she is. But we'll get into it. So guys, this is, I said this before the show, and I really look forward to this show every year. Like, I know we've done it only a couple years, but this is the show. Like, I feel like the Super Bowl is so much fun to talk about, and it's bringing cultural, you know, the stuff, whether it's music or commercials, and bringing it into sports and combining together. And I don't know many people who don't watch the Super Bowl. So we're gonna go into a bunch of stuff today. We're gonna go into what our plans are for the Super Bowl, what we're thinking about the halftime show and all the performances, the bets, what we think about the game, who's going to win. So we're just going to get through all to that. Now, first, I just want to quickly go a little overview on what we're talking about today. Super Bowl 56, Sunday, February 13th, 2022, 6:30 p.m. kickoff. I actually think usually it's like 6:40. I think it kind of like, you know, it takes a while to get into
it. Yeah, it varies because you got, you know, the introduction, national anthem, coin toss.
Yeah. And we were talking right before the show about NBC being on the call and Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, and Dom, like, was not happy. So I mean, like, I want you to explain, like, you know, because you were kind of explaining it before, why you're not happy. Because I actually, I kind of like them. I don't know. Like I get it.
Listen, I've had this talk before with my father.
yeah.
Listen, we sit down. We're going to critique, but we all know it's a hard job to do. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Al Michaels has had a tremendous career, but the man is like, come on, He's going to be doing this till he's like 100.
He's been doing this for a very, very long time. Like we're getting up there in Vince Scully years for him.
It's just his voice gets a little old, but I guess we got to keep it traditional. I want someone that's younger, a little bit more exciting. And then Chris Collinsworth. Listen, seems like a great, genuine person. Looks like he has a firm handshake when you will shake his hand. But can I not be taught how to watch football?
Yeah, yeah.
By knowing how I watch football? Listen, I've heard it before because I've broadcasted for baseball. You have to treat the audience like they're not, like they're watching the game for the first time. But man, he ain't kidding when he's every play. Now here's a guy every time. That was actually pretty good.
That was
good. And then he really analyzes it to where it's like you're 3 years old. You never watched football before. I'm going to hear, we got to play a game. Listen, 18 and up, 21 and up. Every time that we hear, now here's a guy, you take a shot.
You know, it's, oh yeah, like the drinking game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because this is a question we could talk about quick before we get into like the main conversation. Like, then who is your favorite broadcasting team? I feel like this is such a cool conversation.
I personally like everything when it comes to like Tony Romo. I think he's young. I like him as a guy. I don't know. I just think he's exciting with it.
Yeah.
Who's he with again?
Jim Nance.
I like it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think Jim Nance and Tony Romo just flow really well. Romo gets excited. He explains it in a good way to where what could have happened, but what actually happened. I personally like it.
You know, that's a good point. Something about him in that AFC Championship, like he before the Bengals even kicked the field goal, he's like, the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. It's like, stop! Like I bet on the game. Don't jinx it. Like we need to come. And Anthony, who would you say is? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, no matter what, like everyone's going to critique like the commentators at the end of the day. Like obviously, like people will bash on Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth because they've been doing it for so long. It's like we're getting into dinosaur years with them. You got Joe Buck who does literally every call for Fox. They're like his like prodigy child. Like he could do no wrong in their eyes. World Series games, any big MLB game on Fox, he's on the call. Every football game that they do, he's on it. So it's like, I don't know. And Troy Aikman just like is just a Cowboys lover for life.
That's his problem.
So, yeah. You know, you can't, you know, you know, when you're working for a big network like that, you got to be neutral. Like you don't hear Tony Romo kind of being like that with the Cowboys himself because he was also a quarterback for the Cowboys too. We don't hear him complaining all the time. And so, you know, I'll have to go with Nance and Romo, but like, at the end of the day, I mean, like, you know, it's cool. I mean, I don't mind them. I mean, Joe Buck would probably be my least favorite just because I see him like all the time, like Al Michaels and Jim Nance and all them. Like I only really watch them or hear them during football season. And maybe I'll hear Jim Nance when I'm watching college basketball rarity. Cause I don't really watch unless it's March Madness, but I mean, it had to be those two guys. And obviously they were on the call last year. So they're not going to be on the call again until 2024. Yeah.
Well, you know, because I actually think Troy Aikman is like an exceptional cult. Like he's awesome, but you're right. He's just so
on the Cowboys. It's just ridiculous.
So you know what? If you put him on other games, though, I just find him to be really insightful at what he's saying. And probably even more so than Tony Romo. Like, though I will say Tony Romo has done a good job and, you know, set the world on fire, kind of. But all right, let's get into it. I like that conversation, though, because I've always been curious about who people are, like, into and who people aren't. And the thing is, Joe Buck, he bothers the crap out of me. But there's some calls you listen to, you're like, that's a great job by him. Like,
he'll have his moments.
He'll have his moments, but it's too...
There's too much Joe Buck.
Compliment, though, that people would probably critique Joe Buck on, especially when it comes to just baseball. When there's a walk-off, whether it's a home run or just a walk-off RBI single, he does well, I think, when it comes to staying silent and letting the play speak for itself.
So sometimes you can give your initial analysis or what the call is and let the stadium or whoever's cheering speak for itself. Because if you watch the call, the miracle in Minneapolis or whatever, the remember the play where was it Case Keenum or Kirk Cousins? The
Kirk
play
Cousins.
They missed the tackle or whatever against the Saints. Like that, if you go back to that call, that is a really good job by Joe Buck.
Yeah.
Makes the call, they get in the end zone, the stadium goes nuts. You know, that's or whatever it was. So okay, let's get into it because we got a lot to talk about. All right, first. So this is a big, big Super Bowl. I think to see I think it was a stat like the last 18 years has had either Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, the 49ers, or Ben Roethlisberger in a Super Bowl. This is the first year we're seeing, you know, like kind of a different outlook. You know, we're seeing Joe Burrow, we're seeing Matt Stafford, you know, for both their first times as quarterbacks. So first, I just want to talk to you guys about a couple players from each team that I think are really noteworthy in this game. So first, we're going to talk about Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford. So both number nine. What are you guys looking for? Just it doesn't have to be anything crazy for Matt Stafford and Joe Burrow in their first Super Bowl ever. I think they're also the first two first pair of quarterbacks to make the Super Bowl that hadn't had a previous playoff win. So they're really coming into this like kind of novices. They're new to this. So what are you guys thinking about both of their performances and what kind of nerves do you think they're going to have? Anthony, you start.
I mean, I think with Joe Burrow, I think obviously, look, he's going to be nervous. I mean, I feel like he's going to put a lot of pressure on himself. Obviously he has to do something really special in his within like 3-4 years, winning the Heisman, the national championship and the Super Bowl. In 3 years, 3 or 4 years, like it's remarkable. Yeah. And I think the fact that he's now getting into the conversation of being like a great, like, I'm not gonna lie, you could probably put him that he's better than Matt Stafford just for the fact that he got there as quickly as he did with the team that he has around him. Like Matt Stafford, great quarterback, love the guy, but his team is so much better than the Bengals. And Joe Burrow did it with a lesser team. I'm just going to say that flat out. Like, the defense is not even comparable to what the Rams have. So I just feel like with him, he's the better quarterback. And I think with Joe Burrow, he just has to just not get too frazzled up by that D-line, because we saw it against Tampa Bay and we saw it against the 49ers as well. That D-line is going to come at you. It's going to come at you really hard. And he's just got to be mindful of – he's got to be mindful of Aaron Donald. He's got to be mindful of Von Miller, the guy coming up the middle and the guy coming up on the sides of him. He's got to get rid of the ball, got to get rid of the ball fast. And that O-line's got to really protect him, because if they don't, they're going to have a lot of issues. And we've seen that before. They haven't really protected him, and he's been able to get them out of trouble. But this is the real one where it's like, if they come at you, you're going to have a really tough time.
Yeah. You know, it's a good point, because that offensive line has been the Bengals' biggest problem. And then, you know, the other big problem I would say is I think Matt Stafford's been really, not that you're saying he hasn't been, but
no, he's been great. I'm just saying this, he has a better team around him.
Agreed. But I think for Matt Stafford, the turnovers thing is going to be something that we keep an eye on all game.
Like, oh yeah. He'll throw the game away if he wants to.
If he can take care of the ball, that'll be big, because, you know, the game against the Bucks, there were four fumbles. None of them were his. Like, none of them were his.
Problems. Oh yeah. He didn't throw that game. It was everyone else.
Right. So like, you just have to keep an eye on that. And the one thing before Dom goes and says what he thinks about both quarterbacks, I would like if we could try. I know it'll be hard, but like, try to keep. Not that you did, Anthony, but try to keep who you think is gonna win. Like, kind of a secret until the end, because I'm like, I want to be shocked or surprised at who people are picking up. I honestly have no idea who you two are picking at all. Mm-hmm. Win the game and MVP and stuff. But Dom, so Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, what are your keys for them, and who are you more excited to see, or what are you thinking?
All right, so yeah, great thing around that. Listen, when Burrow was drafted in 2020, before the draft even happened, Joe Burrow was expected to most likely be the number one pick. I would have friends tell me if I was Joe Burrow, I wouldn't even be going in the draft knowing if I was number one. I think that's phony baloney. Look, when you're going on a rebuilding team, you never know how fast they're going to rebuild. And I think the Jaguars very soon are going to be very good. I think they're going to hire Bisaccia. That's my prediction.
Oh, but, Tom, I think it's almost confirmed that Bisaccia's going to the Packers. I think.
Really?
I'll check into that. Keep going.
Yeah. But also, another thing would be, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, with Burrow, the people were saying, don't even have him. The Bengals are going to be a joke. And look at this. His second year in, and they're in the Super Bowl. Anthony really mentioned it nicely. A BS call with the Raider game, but hey, they still won, whatever. They beat the Titans, which we all predicted. But when it comes down to it, that O-line does have to step up. Joe Burrow was sacked 6 times against the Titans, which wasn't good. Just to imagine the massacre with that Rams D-line coming up the gut. So that's going to be a thing. But Joey B, kid's insane, called it right away. Bengals, good for them too. The fact that they were an absolute joke a year ago, this kid tore his ACL a year ago too.
And MCL. He tore everything in his leg.
Exactly. The fact that this Bengals team, we didn't know where they were going even last year, 2 years ago, and look at them now. Build young. That's why I'm rooting for the Bengals in this one rather than building with money with the Rams who have no fan base. When it comes to Stafford and his side, look, Stafford's been a part of the Rams since a part of the Lions since 2009. Of course, his first year on a new team, he makes it to the Super Bowl. Happy for the guy. Don't get me wrong, but I don't want to see cocky Odell Beckham winning a Super Bowl. The Rams, Jalen Ramsey, give me a break. Listen, they're trying to buy a championship, and I'm not for it. But hey, if Stafford gets it, I'll kind of shrug and be like, all right, he finally got it. But listen, I'm all for this Bengals ride as much as they beat my Raiders. But a young quarterback and a veteran quarterback. It's going to be really interesting to see both guys. Guys, you got to admit, it's of course weird not seeing a Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
It's true. That's why I almost, when the Bengals were starting to get into the game, I was like, it's futile. Like, we're going to see Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. It's the only way that kind of makes it, quote unquote, interesting. But I'm more interested in this game. I'm having such trouble with who I'm going to root for. You know, like, I want to see Matt Stafford get a championship so bad because that guy gets crapped on by so many people. Like, it's crazy. You know, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve some crap, but, I mean, people make it seem like he is incompetent and just makes mistakes. Like, he's not that bad.
He's a good quarterback.
No, he is. Like,
he's playing for the Lions. Like, come on.
And people are like, he's the worst ever. Like, what are you talking about? These people are so dumb.
Yeah, like, people like to criticize. Like, people say, oh, look at his record all the years above 500 teams. He's playing for the Lions. A quarterback can't do it all himself.
I mean, like,
come on.
Wait, your
franchise made Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, two of the greatest people to ever do at their position, retire early because you couldn't win.
Yep.
I mean, they stink. They stink. And we're like, oh, man, Stafford, why is he so bad? So stupid. But anyways, all right. So, and I want to just point out, the Bengals are wearing black on
Sunday. That's right.
And you know what color uniform the Rams are wearing, guys?
White. Yep.
And you know that stat about the white jerseys have won, like, or covered the spread in, like, 14 of the last 17 Super Bowls or something like that? Just something to keep your eye on, okay? Mm-hmm. I had to include that. Okay, we're going to go into one more kind of players or kind of team that we're looking for, because you guys both kind of talked about questions and concerns, which I liked. You know, the offensive line and the I think one of them for the Rams is definitely I have two for the Rams. The turnover thing, and if you notice, like, they've gotten ahead in games, and I think Sean McVay managing games is a trope. Did you see with 10 minutes left and down points, they had no timeouts with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter? What? And he's challenging plays. He challenged a fumble. The guy had the ball the whole time. was like, what are you doing, Sean? Sean is a good looking guy, okay? But where are the brains there? The brains and the looks, they're not coming together for Sean. They're not coming together.
He's a little too young for the job. He's not even 40 yet.
No, he is either. I don't think Zach Taylor is either. So this is the youngest coaching matchup. So the last two things, actually, that's a good point you bring up, Anthony. All right. The last two things we're going to bring up are Zach Taylor, Sean McVay, and Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase. Okay. I'm going to start quickly, very quickly. I think in the playoffs, I think Zach Taylor's done a great job preparing his team. It's a never give up attitude for the Bengals. And honestly, even though Sean McVay has coached in big games and coached in the Super Bowl, I have to give the edge to Zach Taylor because I just think he's managed the game better, he's prepared the team better, and they're never out of a game. And then for the Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase thing, as good as Jamar Chase is, I just think Cooper Kupp is just, I mean, he's come up with so many big catches against the Bucs and so many big games, and I just think he's that Matt Stafford Cooper Kupp connection is just special, and they can't even it's hard to even cover him, you know, and they have so many weapons with Higbee and Akers and OBJ. I know he's cocky, but you know, I just think that Cooper Kupp kind of edges him out there. But okay, we'll start with Dom, Zach Taylor versus Sean McVay, and then a little bit of Jamar Chase versus Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Zach Taylor worked for Sean McVay as an assistant wide receiver and quarterback coach. So there's a little fun fact. You know, I'm going to be honest. I think Zach Taylor's done tremendous work. The thing that scares me is that the Bengals can be inconsistent. The Rams had a small decline, I think, where they lost like three straight midway through the season. But I'm going to give the edge to Sean McVay. I think he's learned a lot. I think he's a very good coach, like they say on the media, very good with his players. I'm not saying that Taylor's not, but I think McVay does have that veteran experience. He's faced some tough competition, and he knows how to just manage and work a game clock, to the Bucs.
But Dom, he didn't do that in the NFC Championship. I could three timeouts, yeah. None of them. I just couldn't believe.
Yeah. And that's gonna happen. That was really bad.
You can't let that happen. You know, yeah. I get what you're saying, but it's just frustrating. It's like, how do you do that? Go ahead.
For sure. But I am going to give the edge to McVay just because of the experience he has had. I think the Bengals, being new, I can't give it to Taylor just yet.
Okay, fair. Fair. And then Dom, what about Jamar Chase and Cooper Kupp? What are you thinking about them in this Super Bowl?
Yeah, listen, Jamar Chase is an absolute stud. That offense is going to be insane for years to come. Bengals, 8 to 10 years, they're going to be dominating their division. But I'm going to give it the edge to the guy who has 145 receptions, the guy that the Buccaneers should have been covering only, because they should have known that Cooper Kupp was going to be the guy. 16 touchdowns, guy was massacred defense left and right. Cooper Kupp's insane.
He is. Anthony, what are we talking? Coaching, wide receiver matchups? What are we talking?
I got to give it to Zach Taylor. I think at the end of the day, when you are down as bad as they were in that Chiefs game to come all the way back in the Chiefs home territory to win that game just shows that this guy has his team like wrapped around his finger. He knows how to get them riled up and get them going. He knows to keep their spirits up, and that's what you got to do. He knows how to make the, you know, call the big plays when they need to. And I think that's what's really helped them in the end. Now, they do have great weapons like Mixon and Burrow and Chase and Boyd. But, you know, he's the guy that they're looking upon. I know everyone is looking upon Joe Burrow, but you got to look upon Zach Taylor too, because I feel like, and we talked about this before on the show numerous times, both on the podcast and when we were on radio, is that head coaching is one of the most, is the one like coaching position that is so important in the NFL. It's not as important really in basketball, baseball, bullpen, yeah, you can make an argument there that, like, okay, the manager really needs to know how to manage a bullpen.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. And I don't know how you guys feel about hockey coaching, if that's really
– it's more in the middle of – baseball means the least, and I would say hockey and basketball are kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, but, and then – yeah, and football is the most. So I feel like what he's been able to do as well, it's just remarkable. And obviously we talked about, look, Sean McVay has been with the team for a while. It's kind of – for the most part, the same kind of guys really. It's just Stafford's new, OBJ's new. Just a couple, like, you know, little different pieces, but, like, the core defense is still there. You know, Cooper Kupp's been there. So I feel like, you know, it's different for him. So I got to give it to Zach Taylor. And then the wide receiver, look, Cooper Kupp is special. Let's get out of the way. He had one of the most dominant seasons in NFL history. But Ja'Marr Chase is coming.
Ooh.
This man is coming. Yeah. And I feel like the fact that him and Joe Burrow had that LSU connection, and I've said this before on the podcast since college, and the fact that, you know, he got to Cincinnati and he put up this ridiculous rookie season, obviously he's going to win offensive rookie of the year. There's no doubt about it. I just feel like, look, he's going to have him. I feel like he's going to put on a show. I feel like, you know, he's going to do everything he can to put on a show, and I feel like he's going to do it. I think Cooper Kupp's going to do great too, but I'm looking for Ja'Marr Chase to really get it going. I like him. I think that, you know, the fact that what he's been able to do at such a young age, and it's only going to go up from here, and the fact that he's got a really humble kind of attitude with still a little cockiness, because you got to have that. It's like him and Joe Burrow are kind of the same. You know, they go about their business the right way, and then when they win, they celebrate. You know, they have some fun, as they should. But I got to give it to Ja'Marr Chase. I know Cooper Kupp's going to do crazy things, because, look, the Bucs couldn't stop him. The Niners couldn't really stop him either. I doubt the Bengals are going to stop him, but I feel like Ja'Marr Chase is really going to get it going. And even though he's going to be double covered, I feel like he will. They're going to figure it out. They're going to get it going, because Ja'Marr Chase scored a touchdown. He was like double covered in the end zone, and he threw it up and he got it to him somehow.
They're going to get the ball. That guy is a stud. He's so good, and I love his relationship with Joe Burrow. You're right. I mean. And if you watched, he was crying on the sideline when McPherson kicked the field goal and won the game. Like,
yeah,
they care.
Yeah, and then you saw their dad smoking cigars when they went to it. Like, come on, that's awesome.
So cool. That's so cool. But yeah, no, you know, I gotta say, I know the OBJ stuff. I know he can be cocky, but
I will give it to him. He's turned it around.
No, somehow I don't know, like, what didn't compute in
it's Baker. Baker's the problem. It was Baker. It wasn't Odell. It was all Baker. Once Odell started showing up, everyone's like, all right, well, Baker's the problem.
But here's the thing. You're not acting like this, but let's not act like OBJ has never been a problem. You're not saying that. I'm saying, like, in New York, he was a prima donna.
It was bad. He punched a wall with his, like, fist. Like, that was bad.
He fought that field goal.
Yeah, he fought that.
He lost the battle. He lost the war too. He lost. He was gone. You know, I mean, the guy. So I actually don't hate him. My dad hates him. Dom clearly thinks he's cocky.
Yeah, I can't stand him.
I don't disagree with, but let's move on to a more fun part of the show. We got to talk about halftime show. We got to talk about food, because, I mean.
Duh.
Who's hosting? Who's on the show? I mean, one thing about this show, these people on this panel, and I would say Sean too, we know our food. We're not unprofessional about this. This is a professional group of food eaters. We know what we're doing. So I'm curious to see what you guys are doing for that, what your plans are, and commercials. So first, okay, let's start. Where do we want to start? What do we want to start with? I don't care.
I think we got to start with the halftime show.
Okay.
It's the next biggest thing besides the game.
Okay. All right. Well, so we're going to do halftime show. Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. I think it is. I guess you're right. So we got Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. And to be honest with you, I'm most probably excited for Mary J. Blige and Snoop Dogg. This is not my wheelhouse. You know, if I had a wheelhouse pick for Super Bowl, it'd be like Billy Joel with like Elton John, or you know, just playing the piano up there. But that's obviously not what they're going to do. And it's cool that they're changing it up. They're doing something different this year. So just quickly, what do you guys think of the Super Bowl? Maybe compare it to other past ones. What you're like, where you think this will be legacy wise? Anthony, you go ahead, because I know you're me and you are really into this stuff, this halftime stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about beforehand, you know, how like back, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a whole like protest movement with Colin Kaepernick, and a lot of the rap community and celebrities and R&B singers were really like for him and were protesting the NFL and not wanting to do the halftime show. So that was a big deal when we were first in college, and now everything's kind of subsided, you know, and this opportunity came off with this like kind of LA. It's like if you guys remember like the East Coast, West Coast rivalry back in the 90s, it's like the LA people are getting their chance to do the halftime show, right? Snoop, LA, Dr. Dre, LA, Mary J. Blige, Blige's in LA. Eminem, even though Eminem's Detroit, literally Dr. Dre is the main reason why he has a career. So he's all for LA. Kendrick Lamar with Dre, LA base. So it just makes sense. I mean, look, we've all listened to all of them. They all have massive, massive hits. But yeah, the issue is like, all right, well, this is a halftime show. This is a performance, big, big production performance. How are you going to do that when all of them are rappers, right? There's not going to be really any dancing or props really. So it's going to be interesting of how they really do this. And also, a lot of the music is explicit. Yeah. A lot of it's going to be bleeped out.
True. Like, what are they going to be saying?
Like, yeah, unless the only thing I could think of, and I hope they do this, because at the end of the day, these guys are lyrical geniuses. It's just figure out ways to rewrite the lyrics a little bit so that you don't have to, so that not every word is bleeped out. But I don't know. You know, they might do backtrack and stuff like that at the end, because I know Justin did that with his halftime show, and trust me, I was not a fan of that. I got so mad at him. But but yeah, I mean, look, I think I'm excited, but I'm not like, oh, I can't wait. I'm kind of like, I'm excited because I want to know like how it's going to be done, and is it going to be good? I don't know if it's going to be good. I hope it's good, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because it's definitely different from years past.
Yeah, and this is Mary J. Blige's second time doing
it. I was gonna say
she did it with Aerosmith and NSYNC back in 2001.
Such a cool combination. I mean, like who would have put those three together? That's such
that was a crazy Super Bowl halftime show, because it was pop versus rock at the time, the height of. You know, I can get into it all.
Honestly, I feel like, Anthony, even if it's after the Super Bowl, like we really should do a show of like just going through the halftime shows, like the cultural relevancy, like all that kind of stuff. Even if it's like a four-parter, like that would be so
a series.
Yeah, I'm serious. But like, because me and you, I know we would always talk about like the Prince stuff, and then
yeah. Like, because I feel like that's what you liked. I feel like you would have liked it. You know, you probably wish you were kind of older to appreciate the mid-2000s, where it was, you know, the Stones, Prince, Bruce Springsteen,
the McCartney, like yeah. The Who, like that kind of
The Who, yeah. U2, like all yeah. them.
And then the for it to transition into like Black Eyed Peas, which is, but then it was like the Beyonce, Madonna, like that kind of era.
Yeah, too. Beyonce, Madonna, Bruno Mars.
That kind of it was a good transition, because you got like, as we'll get into this quickly because we're kind of like up against time, but like you know, after the Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson thing happened, they really did make a concerted effort to say we're gonna go away from the kind of sexual stuff and the inappropriate stuff for people. And go to more of a older generation, just rock and roll kind of
thing. Yeah, and the classics. Because at the time, like, those were classics, and they were old, but they weren't, like, now, like, the Stones can't do that. Like, the Stones, maybe Paul McCartney could probably do it one more time if he really wanted to. He's not going to.
No, and they're not going to have him do it. They won't. But no. But he could. So that's a good – that's so much fun. We got to do that. Because we just really like that. But, okay, Dom. All right, here's what we're going to do. Okay, so I want to know, Dom, what you're doing for this game, okay? What food you're looking forward to eating during the game, and if you're looking forward to a commercial or some specific brand that you're looking forward to, or one of your favorite.
All right. So I'm going to quickly also go into the halftime show real quick.
Yeah, go.
I think at first when you hear it, when I heard about who was going to perform, at first I'm like, oh, sick. I think this is going to be one of the biggest busts of Super Bowl halftime shows there are. I'm not big into the halftime anyway, personally. I watch it for the game, not for that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't watch performers and stuff. But listen, they were all talented at one point, but they're past their prime. Dr. Yeah. Dre, come on.
I was surprised Dr. Dre could jump, but you guys remember Dr. Dre had a stroke.
He was almost dead.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, so when I saw that he was like, they're like, he's doing it, I'm like, well, that's kind of a big deal, like for his health. Because yeah. He was literally almost like RIP.
Yeah, that's
like, so the fact that, you know, props to him that he's able to do that, but that's also kind of scary. Like, oh, like, all right, well, I guess doctors gave him the green light.
Yeah. You want it's like LaMarcus Aldridge. He's back. Doctor, I guess, kind of gave him the green light at least the yellow light option.
Give me the green light.
Yeah. No, you are right, Dom. A lot of them are like, except for maybe Kendrick, but everyone else, they're peaking in the music industry as come and gone.
It's come on. Eminem, he had a couple. I'm not even a fan of Eminem, but his music's overly played, in my opinion.
I agree. He's great.
Yeah. Mary J. Blige, really haven't listened to. And then Kendrick Lamar, he's good and all, but he posts the new album every 25,000 years. So,
I feel like that's good though.
Yeah, it is good.
I like that because it's like it's quality work.
Yeah, it's just I also have a big concern. Kendrick's still in his prime. Everyone else is no. But my biggest concern with it is how are they gonna flow? You know, how are they gonna mix it up? Is it gonna be rapid fire 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 every so and so? I do wonder. Five is a lot here.
That is true. You got to fit, and you got five of them. You got like 16 minutes max. They really try to cram it all in.
Who's playing and when?
Can I just say one thing? You're right. Because, you know, like what was so cool about like Katy Perry and
Missy Elliott
and Kravitz too.
Yeah.
Who had a different music, and it's a lot of the same. So Mary J. Blige better have like 7 songs ready to go. Just like, she better be prepared. So, all right, Dom, go ahead though. Commercial, you know what you're saying. Commercial food, like what you're doing, like give us what you're looking for.
So most likely working, hopefully, I will be working.
You are working.
Working.
The question is, do I work overtime past 8 o'clock? Eastern time. Who knows? When it comes to commercial, I'm just going to say this. If it's an M&M's commercial, I'm going to crack up laughing because those are pretty fun.
Those are golden.
The commercial this year, though.
Yeah. Anything with that, those are pretty good. When it comes to food, whatever's served to me, if I go to Anthony, if I go to Tommy's place, it's 5 seconds away. He's going to have food already there. It's probably going to be a feast, pizza, wings. Guys, we talked about it before the show.
Yeah, tell the story about the wings.
All right. So it was the Rams and Patriots Super Bowl, I believe. It was our sophomore year.
The worst Super Bowl ever.
Yeah, really was. So we all get pizza and wings. I forget from where. I think it was a local place.
Varsity.
Yeah. And we all put the main platters in Chase in our room, and we're serving some stuff up. Everyone's slowly getting their food, and you see me with my plate. I'm kind of sitting down very quietly. You might hear a little bit of heavy breathing for a good reason. I forget who it was, but someone asked, where do all the wings go? So everyone starts scouting the room, and they look at my plate. There's 15 or so bones just laying there. And like 2 slices of pizza eaten up without the crust, because crust is not good unless there's hot sauce on it.
Oh, Dom.
Oh, Dom.
Yep. I'm like that.
I love you.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm gonna get. I got another hot take. wings, no matter the flavor, if they have a flavor, like a sauce or not, they are better without blue cheese or ranch as a dip. I think it ruins it.
I like the dip. I don't feel like it makes it worse.
I don't like the dip. I agree with Dom on that one. But I'm not a wing professional, so I can't really.
Yeah, I'm more of a wing than a drum, but I don't mind the drum like people do. The leg, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so everyone's looking, and then you just see me devouring like a dog who just wants to eat.
Wait, tell the cheese part too, Dom.
I just get told, why'd you eat all the wings? And I was like, I was hungry. I lost track. Next thing you know, and there's a lot on my plate. And
I can't blame you because I've been there before. You ever just start eating and then they're like, how many did you have, Noah?
And it was so good.
I don't really know. And they're like, you couldn't keep track. I'm like,
I mean, Greg, we did get a lot of food that day, though, too. So we weren't that mad at you. So like, all right, well, we got like five pies,
and that's what I did.
And we got three orders of garlic knots.
My God! And we were just people were like, there was a premium of garlic knots, but not really because there were so many. But like I said, like I wasn't that concerned or mad at Dom because I'm not a huge wing guy. So I was like, I was like, more pizza for me, like more cheese. More like, we knew
it was funny. Yeah, it was funny. So yeah, there's that with food. I think I'm probably gonna be heading to Tommy's at around 8. So I'll probably
because we did the Super Bowl last year. You came to my house.
Yeah, that was great. That was a fun time.
Yeah,
you, Josh,
Gio.
Yeah, that was great. And then what was the last part, Noah? I'm sorry.
I don't even remember what
it was. Food commercial and.
I think that's it. Oh, and what are the game plans? Yeah, you answered everything.
Oh, yeah. Basically, I'll be working. If anything, I'm probably going to go to Tommy's because he's 5 minutes away. I know.
And Dr. Gordon's home.
Yeah. Okay. I wish the people who are listening can see this, but I can try and visualize it in their heads. My desk is right there and my TV. I have the, you guys know the movie speakers you can attach to your wall or just mount the, yeah, I have a
surround sound.
Yeah. That's going to be on so I can really hear the Super Bowl and I can really hear Chris Collinsworth teaching me how to watch football loud and clear. But hopefully I'm at my boy Tommy's watching the second half of it.
Yeah. And for me, quickly, I always look forward to the Dorito commercials. And then the one commercial we always talk about, and I don't even think it's a Super Bowl commercial, is the Geico Scoop There It Is commercial. So I'm hoping we get something over that. You know, I mean, it's the best. You heard it here first. It is the greatest commercial of all time. I'll say it till the cows come home. It's the greatest. Food-wise, we're going to have some bagel bites at the Gugliotta household. I'm staying home. I'm lame.
You're a homebody, Noah. We know that.
Dude, look at this stomach right here. Oh, yeah. That was weird. That was really weird.
No, I get it.
Yeah. So bagel bites, and I would say bagel bites and the dogs, the pigs in a blanket. I think those are the best. The ketchup.
I'm coming up. Forget about it. I'm coming there.
You're more than welcome.
Oh, stop it.
And then I think that's it because we talked about the halftime show for me. So. Anthony, you go ahead. What are you looking forward to? Plans?
Yeah, so commercial-wise, I mean, Doritos are up there for me. M&M, the M&M ones we talked about. You know, my all-time favorite one was like the Sexy and I Know It M&M commercial from 2011. Wow. That was so funny. That was hilarious. That one was up there for me. I remember when obviously my boy JT was in a Super Bowl commercial with the Bye drink, and they did like the Bye Bye Bye. With Christopher Walken. That was cool because I've said this before to you guys, Justin does not talk about NSYNC a lot. So for him to kind of do that was really cool. I just hope that, look, we get some good ones. Last year's were like, okay. I'm interested to see what kind of movie trailers we get this year because that's always a big one. Like, what big movies are going to be run? Is it going to be the new Batman trailer they're going to run? Yeah. Or are we going to get, you know, something like maybe a Marvel one possibly? I don't know. So I'm looking forward to that, seeing what's coming out. In terms of food, I mean, so, well, my game plan, so I think I had a couple options. Obviously, now with Don telling me that Tommy was likely going to invite me, but obviously I'm going to Ryder on the 14th to speak, so I'm going to see him and Justin that day. And I think my friends were probably going to have something here, but our good friend Nick Meza texted me right before we hopped on the show. Is like, hey, everyone's coming over to my place for the Super Bowl. You want to come? We haven't seen you in a while. Yeah, because I haven't seen them since September, and I don't really get together with them a lot. Me and Colin still talk, but so I said, yeah, why not? Since, you know, I'm working remote that day on Monday, so, and it'd be good to see them since I haven't seen them in over 6 months. So I'll be going up to Tom's River, seeing the old gang. So that'll be fun. And for food wise, I just hope we have good food, wings, I don't know, pizza, burgers, chips, some good dip. Oh, some good like buffalo chicken dip. Ooh.
Spinach dip, come on.
Yeah, that too. Sour cream dip or whatever. I don't know. What, sour cream and onion dip? I can't remember what it's called, but that's so good. As long as it's good, you know, that's all I care about. But, you know, the Super Bowl party that we had in our dorm in 2019 was great, Dom. Yeah. The one we had at our house was fun. We got pizza from, I forgot where we got pizza from.
We went to Princeton.
Yeah, we went to Princeton. We got like, we got really bougie pizza. And then we went to Taqueria and got like loaded nachos.
Oh, good. It was good.
Yeah, and we just devoured. Yeah, we devoured.
Had to be absolutely destroyed after that.
Right? The four of us destroyed it. I forgot if Gio. I know the three of us had a lot. I don't know if Gio had.
Gio did. I'm pretty sure
he did. Okay, I don't remember.
Well, that, you know, it's Super Bowl really is like one of those events that you can make. Sunday's always weird, you know, but it's such a cool day, especially when you are going to parties. Notice, guys, that I wasn't invited to this party, but I'm not. Yeah. I probably wouldn't go anyway. So it's
okay. You would have gone anyway.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you would. But you know, like if like I know Anthony and Dom would invite me, you know, because they're my
yeah, of course. Yeah,
I love Nick. I love all of them. Like, right. I'm not like upset. Like it would be a far drive for me anyway.
Right.
It's far for me too, but I gotta have that, you know.
The reason why Anthony and I did it, Noah, you were on our wagon too.
No, but I think you guys even invited me. I don't think it was like a no. You're good.
We rooted for.
I think I did invite you.
Did, but I. But it wouldn't have made sense for me to go an hour and a half to, you know, right, like
and then just go back and.
Yeah.
But the reason why Anthony and I kind of had that set up anyway, we were the only two at the time before we knew you. We were rooting for the Buccaneers. Everyone else was going for the Chiefs.
That's right. So
I wanted to be in my own territory.
And you know what, Dom? Great to bring that up because it'll be a great transition for what we're about to do. We got all of our fun stuff in. We all, including Sean, who did we all pick last year to win that game? The Buccaneers against
Tampa Bay.
We all picked Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were like, the Chiefs. We got it right. We were all correct. And I feel like we should get more credit, like give ourselves more credit for that. Because I'm not saying we're like professional, like we know everything about sports or whatever. But like it was so chalk to be like the Chiefs. And I know Tom Brady was in the game too. But like I feel like it was so easy to go Patrick Mahomes is on the up and up. Like we were on top of that. And it wasn't just because of Tom Brady. We all felt like they had the better team around them. But here is what we're going to do, okay? I have a few questions, okay? We're going to first start actually with the over-under on the game, okay? We got about 10 minutes left, so we can be – not too much in detail, but we can kind of go in detail. I want to go in detail more for the game itself and maybe for the MVP and stuff. But, okay, we'll start with Dom. Over-under 48.5 for this game. What are you thinking?
That's a great question. I'm actually going to go under. I don't know who is the underdog. I think over is the underdog, but I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I think that the Rams defense obviously is going to show up. I think the Bengals defense at times will step up. and that just overall, it's going to be a slow day unless Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, and some other guys, especially on the receiving end, make some big plays. Mm-hmm. I think the running game is going to be shut down on both sides with Joe Mixon, with that Rams defense, and Cam Akers coming off that injury too soon, but we'll see. So I'm going to go under 48.5.
You know, I think that's not a bad point, because I was thinking this game could be an early game of kind of, you know, settling for field goals or trying to figure each other out. I was actually leaning over coming into this, Dom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go over, but you really made a good point there, I think. No, I'm serious, because I think it's not as easy now for me to say over. I will go over, but I'm not as confident in it. So,
yeah.
All right, I'll rethink that. But, Anthony, go ahead. Over, under 48.5.
Oh, I mean, this is tough, because this is kind of like this is like a meet in the middle kind of number where it's like you can't really say, oh, it's a definite over or if it's a definite under. This is kind of like they made it tough. Because you know the Rams Niners game was only 37 points. The Chiefs Bengals game was 51.
I think it was 20.
51. Yep. Yeah. So it's kind of like, all right, well, they're throwing us in for an interesting one. I'm going to go over, and I'm going to say it's going to go over, and I think it's going to be like right around 50. So I think it might just go over, because I think, look, these defenses can easily shut it down and make it under. But these teams have weapons where they could, if they want to, slug it out if they really wanted to. So it's kind of like, where do you go? So I'm going to go over by like a point and a half that's going to go to 50.
I think that's the thing, Anthony. I feel like this is a game where it starts like it's going to look so under that you're like, oh, damn it. And then I think towards the end, which is kind of what happened in the Chiefs point.
Yeah,
and even the Chiefs-Bills game, like where you're like, oh, my God, they just go back and forth. And I think both teams can do that because both defenses are going to kind of settle back and try to just stop big plays. But, you know, still something's going to happen. So I think those are both really good points by you, and I think it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, X factor for you could do either team. It doesn't matter, but I want to do X factor. Who you think is the most important player for their team? Could be for the Rams, could be for the Bengals in this game. Anthony, go ahead.
For both teams, or just one in particular?
You could do both teams, but do an explanation for one.
So I feel like the X factor for the Rams is going to be Aaron Donald. And I think, look, I mean, everyone's going to look at Matthew Stafford, but, you know, to do it. But Aaron Donald is the heart and soul. And I would say he's the captain of the Rams. You know, if he can get to Burrow, and he can get to Burrow fast and just start pressuring him, I feel like everyone around him on that D-line is really going to start picking it up. Like, oh, crap, we can get to him. And then they're going to start swarming him. And it all starts with him. I mean, look. 7-time All-Pro first team has been on the Rams since day one, is number one at his position. Where he goes, that defense goes. So, I mean, I feel like he's going to be the X factor. So if he could do his job and he could do his job right, Joe Burrow is going to struggle. And then in terms of, I mean, the X factor for the Bengals, I mean, it's Burrow. I mean, he's got to figure out a way in relation to what I said about Donald. He's got to figure out a way to get rid of that ball and get rid of that ball fast. He's got to make quick decisions. He's not going to have a lot of time to stay in the pocket. You know, they were saying about it early on ESPN this morning. I agree with the analysts, even though sometimes the stuff they say is utterly ridiculous because for entertainment, that, you know, he's got to make quick decisions and he's got to know when and when not to run with the ball. He's going to run. Joe Burrow's going to have to run. It's just when and not he's going to do it, and he can't be like indecisive about the decision, or else it's going to hurt him.
Yeah, I agree. I would say X factor. You know, there's a lot of names on the Rams defense, and you can't say really the same for the Bengals. But I think a guy like Trey Hendrickson, if he can get pressure and put pressure on Matt Stafford, I think that really helps the Bengals' chances getting the ball back to their offense to go forth. And then for the Rams, I was thinking about this, you know, Odell Beckham is going to get a lot of play. And and so is Cooper Kupp. But Van Jefferson, I'm really curious to see as that third wide receiver. I think he might be in for a big game. I really do. Like, and depending on what Tyler Higbee's status is, because he's been hurt and stuff, that I'm really interested to see with him. All right, Dom, X Factor, go ahead. Who are we talking?
Bada bing, bada boom. I'll give an explanation of both just really quickly. Rams, Odell Beckham Jr. took it right out of my mouth, too. He stepped up in Robert Woods' absence. So he's been getting hot. He's been finding the ball, getting touchdowns. I think Beckham is actually going to be a receiver, especially with Cooper Kupp having his eyes glued on. Odell's been doing well. So, yeah, I think he is actually going to be an X factor to where it's another weapon for Stafford to go to. For the Bengals, I'm going to go with T. Higgins. I think Jalen Ramsey has already made it clear.
Good one.
He's going to be on Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not going to say that he shut it down because obviously Mike Evans smoked past Jalen Ramsey despite the loss in that division game. But I think T. Higgins is a sneaky good pick. We know he's a talent too. We look at Ja'Marr Chase, but Higgins can pop off at any time. And it's going to be a thing where Joe Burrow, man, I mean, he's got two stud receivers. So I think Higgins is definitely a sleeper that can be taken advantage of if Ja'Marr Chase is being looked at a little too much.
The really good answers. Okay. Moments you've all been waiting for. Oh, also, and the tight end situation will be interesting. Tyler Higbee, CJ Uzama, like, will they be even playing? You know, I haven't really heard, but they both had knee stuff happen in the championship game. So I want those, because those are big deals for their teams. You know, they're both, I wouldn't say they're the best offensive players on the side, but they are.
But having them helps.
Exactly. Having them is
huge. For receiving and blocking.
And especially for two quarterbacks who are new to the Super Bowl, like I feel like having a tight end that could go 5 yards in, catch, and just get a 6-7 yard gain is big, especially early in the downs. But anyways, okay, we're not going to do the MVP because it kind of gives away who is going to win. I have an idea who I think Dom is going to pick. I'm not sure about Anthony, though. So here we go, all right? I know Dom has a lot of opinions about the Rams and the Bengals. Dom, who wins Rams-Bengals Super Bowl 56? Go.
Oh, man, I got to actually think. Because my heart says the Bengals.
Oh!
Listen, it's tough. You got to really think about it. My heart says the Bengals. But, like, it is so difficult. Because both teams can honestly be either, like, really good or just really, really bad. I think both teams really do even up on paper.
Yeah.
The thing that scares me the most is that Bengals offensive line. Are they going to hold up?
Yeah.
What is Joe Burrow going to do if he starts getting pressured? Is he going to peter out like Jared Goff did in the Super Bowl? I mean, he's no Jared Goff, trust me. but my mind goes Cincinnati. There's too much thinking to where I'm going to choose the Rams. Rams are talented, don't get me wrong. But I just don't like their play style. They obviously almost blew it to the Bucs. That was pathetic. They blew a lead to the Niners late in the regular season. I just feel like when they think they have it, they sometimes don't, or they got to hold on to their lives. And the Bengals, they've had some really tough losses and good wins, so they've been back and forth. But I just think Cincinnati, with the weapons that they have, if the defense can make some big plays at big times, not all the time, that's going to be good enough to beat the Rams.
All right. Anthony, Rams, Bengals.
I got a root for Cincinnati. I got to give it to the Bengals.
So you're picking them to win?
I'm picking them to win.
Okay.
I'm taking the underdog to win. I know the Rams are technically at home. You know, second time that this has happened where the home stadium has their home team playing in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's going to help them out. I know I've said they had a better team, but I think just with the passion that Cincinnati team has been playing, and them knowing that if they win on Sunday, the league's going to be like, it's going to crap their pants because they know like the next dynasty is approaching, and it could be them. You know, everyone was saying it was the Chiefs. And they had a right to say that. But I think with how young, you know, how young this team is, and like, you know, the fact of like, I don't know, because you could say they're kind of like the Chiefs in a way, like the drafting of like Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, and them already having, you know, even though Tyreek Hill was already there, Ja'Marr Chase is a rookie. I feel like that's kind of the difference. They do have a better running game. I do feel like if they show up the O-line, which I think they will do going forward, they're just going to be that much more deadly. So if they win, it's going to skyrocket their confidence, and then they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the NFL. And then it's going to be between the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the Bills in regards to like this next wave of great quarterbacks every year that we talked about early on, with it always being like Brady, Ben, Peyton, you know, always in the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about those three guys for the next 15 years.
And maybe Justin Herbert. We'll see if the Chargers.
I love Herbert. I love him.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the Chargers do some stuff.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Like, he's like probably up there as like my favorite quarterback in the league.
Because they were just inconsistent. They had the talent. Yeah, they're just inconsistent. All right, guys, I have to do it. I have to go with the Rams.
No,
you suck.
Listen, I love that I'm getting negative reactions, because I feel like sometimes on the show we're all too positive. I feel like we got to just crush each other's dreams and destroy each other. But yeah, listen, it's so cool, the Cincinnati story. I just have this feeling that it's going to be a good game. I think the +4 for the Bengals, I feel like they're probably going to cover, but it'll be a close game. But I see the Rams taking the lead early, not that early, but early enough, and Bengals firing back, and maybe it not being enough this time. But I like both teams. I'm hopeful. I won't be angry either result, you know. It'll be cool to see.
Yeah, when I doubted the Bengals in Kansas City, and I was like, you guys are crazy for going for the Bengals in Kansas City.
I didn't believe it either.
Yeah, I think that was my learning lesson, and I'm going with Cincinnati. That's what's driving me, the fact that they went into the Chiefs stadium, Arrowhead, and did that.
Because the thing is, like, the Chiefs offense, I would say, is way better than, even though with the weapons of Matt Stafford, like, way better than the Rams offense. But I would say the Rams are a more complete team than the Chiefs. I mean, like, defensively, it's not, I don't even think it's close. Like, the playmakers that the Rams have. And think about that matchup of if we're going to get Jalen Ramsey and Ja'Marr Chase, like, that'll be really fun. And I think Ja'Marr Chase will hold his own, and I think he'll make some big plays on Sunday. But I just think I like the Rams. And just give me a final score quick. I like a 26-23 game for the Rams.
Ooh, so yeah, you have the over. So we have to remember,
I went under. I'm going over.
I think you went over, so we do have to do that.
Yeah, take that into consideration.
I guess I'll go. It's +4 for the Bengals. They have to win outright. I think they will cover, because I think they're going to win. Okay. So I'm going to go with a final score of – I'm sorry. I'm trying to really think. 24-18.
Okay. And
I got 30-23.
All right, and that's over. So we're all in line with what we thought. All right. That is our Super Bowl show. I'm happy that we got to do this. This is like my favorite show that we do. Unfortunately, I didn't mention Sean could not be here tonight. We tried to make it work with schedule, and he's just been so busy this week. When this comes out, we did record an episode that I'm really excited to drop soon. Anthony, we'll wait to give the details, I guess, right?
We could say, I mean, for the people that listen to the variant, I feel like they have a right to know what's coming next week.
So me, Sean, and Anthony, Dom couldn't be there. We had some issues with technology.
That was so fun.
But we had Jimmy Mulvaney come on, who, we'll go into more of what happened, but He committed to Fairfield D1, and he's a junior in high school. Plays for St. Joe's, right?
Yeah, St. Joe's Prep in Piscataway.
Yeah, so and it's just a really cool interview. It's really down to earth. It's nothing. It's just cool to see an athlete like that who's just so cool. Like, he's nice and just easy to talk to about anything, you know.
Yeah. So
it was a lot of fun. And then we did, I just want to apologize. We did have an issue with last week's episode. Again, technology has just not been kind to us lately. We were trying to figure it out, but no big deal. We'll get it. We'll get this one up, obviously. And check us out on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is. And we'll be back next week, next Thursday at 12, when Noah can post the social media to the account. Me and Anthony got in a huge fight about it. I still got to walk to AJ's and get ice cream.
You do have to walk to AJ's. Man, I got to come down, and I got to force you to do it.
Yeah, imagine, like, you video me outside, like, you're in the car, and you're just driving, and I'm like
Noah!
Yeah. Yeah, no. But thank you guys for listening. It's been fun. Again, like, this is such a pleasure to do this with these two guys. These are, like, the greatest people, and it was a good time. So thank you very much. Don't cry. Please don't cry.
A little bit?
I'll cry after.
Yeah, we'll all cry together.
Anthony, I'll bring you the tissue.
Yeah, cool.
That sounds good.
Thank you. By the way, we didn't do the Googs thing, which I'm kind of happy we didn't.
We should.
Oh my god, we did.
Shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. Okay, we'll do it. 3, 2, 1.
Googs.
Yeah, see. All right. That's what I should say. That's me.
That's me.
Okay. Anyways, thank you guys again. Check out the Super Bowl. We will be watching, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.